You're listening to the Week 1 Fantastics Fantasy Primer here on the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. It is Season 3, Episode 77. We're coming at you here tonight on Wednesday. We'll be coming, dropping this on Tuesday nights to get you ready for waiver wire most weeks. Week 1 kicks off literally tomorrow. We're going to go through all the matchups for this week. Definitely talk a lot about the Thursday night game we've got going on. We've got to discuss this Travis Kelce news, all the latest headlines, and we're also going to look at some transaction trends out there. Some players on the move getting picked up. Should you be picking them up? We're getting ready for those waiver wires, everything you've got, and of course, insiderfootball.com. That's the website. You can go if you got a late draft. The draft advisor is still there. You can also check out our season-long tools and be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Wherever you listen, you can get it there anytime for free. And be sure to catch James and I all season long on Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 87, Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. And James, here we are, my friend. We made it to week one. And really, really happy to be here. Looking forward to a full gamut of football this weekend. And I don't have any more planned. It doesn't mean I won't have another draft sometime here in the next day or so. But nonetheless, flipping into regular season fantasy mode. What does that mean for you, my friend?
Well, that's really kind of what I've done over the last couple of days. And I think the first thing it means to me is, you know, understanding that there is a kind of a flow to every week. And we don't really have that kicking you in the hiney this week because there was no Monday Night Football that kind of ends week. You know, the football week, and then you get to the waiver wire things that we're going to look at here. But the first thing I did is I went and kind of set all my lineups for this week and looking for holes that need to be addressed via the waiver wire, if not via the bench. And, you know, then, of course, as we're going to get into some of the things this week, looking at teams where I drafted a Travis Kelce team and I don't have a backup, what am I going to do about that? Finding players on teams, you know, deep rosters like Corey Davis. I went back to a dynasty league, Dan, a couple of my dynasty leagues that have basically gotten no love or attention for the last month plus, and done a little roster upkeep with those. So kicking it into the regular fantasy season means kind of switching the gear to that grind and that process that we have, especially, you know, somebody like me with a bunch of leagues going from site to site, team to team, and kind of getting that order in order for me for the rest of the year. So that's what this week has been. Certainly this is kind of helping me kick myself into that gear as well. But you know, that's one thing I would urge everybody who's listening to do is, without getting ready for week one, go look at some of those teams, especially dynasty teams where the rookie drafts were in July, even early August, season-long teams that were early August, and looking for those holes, whether it's Corey Davis, Jeff Wilson, whatever the hole it is on your team, and addressing it before then all of a sudden that week one darling that you might have picked up before they had a wonderful week one is cheaper in fab or readily available on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on many of my key points. Actually, I was late to the podcast here because I was out there actually looking at free agents available, and the Scott Fishbowl, I mean, that thing, and we drafted it like 2 months ago, but there's not many free agents in that league. But some of these other leagues that I've drafted even a month ago, just looking at some of the stuff and just gearing up for the season in general, some things that I had written down. I mean, number one, you know, we'd give this memo out there either at the beginning and the end of the season, James, our annual public service announcements. If you still have league fees and you draft it, now is the time to pay them. Right, James? I mean, we're not going to. So let's put the little commish bulletin out here. If you made it to your draft day and you didn't bring your draft dues, like, let's take care of that, man.
Let's pay it up. I was obnoxious about it with my league this year, and everyone brought their money. Like, I
love what you said. You said it was $50 league, and you're like, told everybody to bring a $50 bill with their name.
Yes, with your name written on it. I don't want anything else. And I'm here to tell you, I did have to change a couple of $100 bills, but everybody complied, and my preemptive jerk strike worked.
Nice, nice. Your jerk strikes usually work in general, James. But
they get noticed, if nothing else.
Yeah, you definitely get noticed. But I mean, definitely what you're saying. You get into that routine, right? Follow your process. Mm-hmm. Follow your process. Success in fantasy, success in gambling, success in many things. It all starts with process and sticking to it. Especially, if it's a good process, that is.
Recognizing if it is or not, too. I mean, if there's something wrong with it, getting it right.
Processes when it's not leading to success or a positive ROI. But another thing I always tell people, I mean, this isn't as much now, we're a couple days away because we're sort of in the grind of it. But if I were talking to you this weekend, I said, hey, go, it's not a bad idea to set the lineups early before week one. So it helps you sort of know what, remember what you had on each team. But James, better than that, the waiver wire runs. I literally opened up my Google sheet from last year. A couple changes were made in some waiver wire settings, including in our Do Good Fantasies. I switched it from 4 a.m. to 12 noon, so all those East Coast early risers aren't out there sniping it, or those West Coast, because there's always the same four dudes picking up all the free agents after the fab round. I'm like, nah, let's make it at noon. I think that's fair for everyone.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, making a list, I got a Google sheet myself where it's my league name along with the night and the day the waivers run. Because when you get into double digits, you don't want to have to do them all in one day. But remembering them each week, I mean, it's like my pillbox over here. I'm getting old, dude. I need to have the visual data visualization of some sort.
Add your league website to that, too. That's on my spreadsheet.
That's funny because I literally, that's what I'm saying, dude. I got the link to each league literally right off that. Now, a couple of my KFFC, I have to go to one page and then get in. But
sure,
for the most part, it works. So definitely do that. Know when your runs. And these are a couple other things. We get a lot of waiver wire questions, and we'll talk all season long. The biggest flip from going from season to regular season is, yeah, all these rookies and these players I really loved. You know, I was in on those rookie tight ends. You weren't, especially late, dude. I don't even know how many. I ended up with a lot of shares at Dalton Kincaid. I was looking at my couch potato team. Like, James is going to hate this team. It's a two tight end league, and I did get Tyler Conklin, so you'd love that. But I actually got Kincaid and Laporta on the same team. I'm like, but they fell, and I mean, whatever. But the point is I'm trying to make here, your sleeper or your rookies, my Rashee Rice, these types of players, your Quentin Johnson. Dude, let them play their way in their lineup. Don't force it in. Even Anthony Richardson's on my dud list this week. He has got a high floor. I like him, but like, yeah, let's see him for a minute before we get too carried away with these players. And most importantly, James, have fun. Enjoy the games, man. We've been crushing it all summer to get to football Sunday, and it's almost here.
The last part is absolutely true. Have fun. I haven't decided. It's been so hectic. I mean, you know my personality. Part of me is like I'm chomping at the bit to be at some bar at 11 o'clock in the morning doing car bombs.
Or but you're the still other part from of me, the night before.
But potentially. Well, nah, I don't have that kind of juice.
Yeah, you got a girlfriend now. Those things
not even that. I just don't have that kind of juice. I'm closer to 50 than 40 at this point, barely, but still. But no, I'm like, I might just chill at home and watch the games and like just soak in the football, right? Like, because I've been going to bars and doing these drafts now forever. Yeah, I'm like,
glad
I'm looking forward
on the road. It's like, dude, I've got an NFL ticket again this year. I just want to sit and watch all the games
and enjoy it. Right. Like you said, have fun, enjoy it.
One thing we're not enjoying are all these early buzzkill injuries, right? And we're not going to dive in all the injuries here on Wednesday because we don't have a lot of information. We'll be doing that on the Saturday show each week over on SiriusXM. But James, we got to hit on a couple of these headlines, and we got to start with Travis Kelce. I mean, here he is just a couple days before the opener for the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, and Kelce's out there hyperextending his knee. Early indications are this is not a serious injury, and as we're talking here tonight, they're actually calling him questionable. There's no way dude's playing tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'm not buying that for a minute. But either way, it doesn't look like it's a terrible injury. It is an unknown, and certainly something for a guy that was going in the first round, in some cases, literally the third pick off the board. This is a big blow, dude, and there's no really replacement-level production for a guy like Travis Kelce. Let me ask you this. I mean, in my season-long ranks, I mean, here was a guy that certainly was in my top 10 overall, maybe even higher.
Sure.
If you were finalizing your season-long ranks tonight, or tomorrow, as I will have to do over at the accuracy site I put him on, I mean, how far are you dropping in the overall ranks, Travis Kelce, today, if you're drafting tonight?
You know, I mean, that's a difficult question to ask. And the same circumstance happened with another guy we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And I was happy I didn't have to make that call in the second round. Yeah, I have a hard time.
The difference there is, one is there's a previous history that cost dude half the season in the other case. So it's sure, like a reoccurrence. Here, we've pretty much been given at first glance, this doesn't appear to be a season-ending injury. and we're hoping it's a week or two, but we don't know. So it is sort of apples and oranges comparing it to Cooper Kupp, we'll talk about in a minute.
I would have trouble passing him in the second round. I'd have trouble taking him in the first round. So yeah. I suppose 13, but I don't know if that's a good number to put.
I had my DAV Ballers League last night, and there's some weird keepers there, and it's a 16-team league, and I had the 8th overall pick, and I was already in. As soon as the news hit, I'm sitting there. I'm like, Kelsey's going to fall. And can I afford to take him in a 16-team league where I already traded my second-round pick? I totally forgot about it. I made a run last year and got Josh Allen. So I traded my second-round pick for a 10th-round pick. And I didn't have and I already had my keepers were Kamara and Jamison Williams for like really late rounds. So it's good value even with their stuff. But I like my two keepers are just bad. I was like, there's no way I could take my first round pick and piss in the season away. So I was all scared about it, but he went number 7 overall. And I got
that was a relief to you, was it not? Yeah,
he went 7th overall and I got Nick Chubb at pick 8. I was sleeping like a baby, bro.
That was a relief.
But no, for me, I definitely take him out of the first round on the news I know today. I'm basing that off the fact I think he's going to miss at least a few weeks here. Probably not going to miss, large chunks of the season. I am still very bullish on the player. So I think like you, he's a second round pick. I think I'll have him just outside my top 15 overall when I make my final submission tomorrow night in those rankings.
Yeah, sounds fair. I think 15 probably is about a good spot because I don't think I would take him at the swing either at 12, 13.
Yeah, it's probably more in a tick pass at inside the top 20. But either way, you don't have Travis Kelce this week. Go out and see if you can get one of the Tylers. Tyler Conklin might actually be out there. We'll talk some waiver wires and other things as we go down through the report here. The other big one we already hit on, you talked about it before there, James, Cooper Kupp, and as we come here Wednesday, it's now looking more and more likely. They've already ruled him out for week one. They're talking pupless now, which at this point, it's appearing that Cooper Kupp's going to miss at least 4 games, if not more here. As I alluded to, he already missed half of the season with the hamstring injury, sort of re-aggravated, and this really sort of developed like a week before the regular season begins on a team that already had question marks, on a player that's already past that bell curve age in production. Cooper Kupp, I mean, he's been dropping drastically, going in the late 3rd round of NFFC ADP over the last 7 days, James. And frankly, I'm passing go on him a lot. I'm amongst my 9 season-long rosters. I only have him on one of them, but I do have some best ball shares. But, I mean, this is definitely, as I said before, buzzkill city.
I wouldn't take him in the late 3rd. I wouldn't take him in the late 4th. I don't think I'd take him in the late 5th. I think it's important that we look at Cooper Kupp's body of work because I know how good he was in 21 and how good he was going to be before getting hurt in 22. But now he's hurt and it's recurring. And I know it's a compilation of injuries really with Cooper Kupp. He's only had 2,000 yard seasons in his career. One was under 1,200, 1,100 something. And then there was the magnificent MVP worthy 1,900 plus yard season. He was well on his way to a 1,000 yard season, which would have been his 3rd. But Cooper Kupp's 30. He's had 2,000 yard seasons. So you can do all you want about how he was unbelievable and a fantasy winner 2 years ago. It's one season. And for me, I will continue to pass him. If he's my wide receiver 5, I'll take him. And it's never going to happen in a draft.
I'm not even going to draft him. Not even going to draft him. But I do have to slot him in these rankings, right? So
I'd have Mike Evans and Michael Pittman above him, amongst others.
It is interesting. Definitely the news today, based off of what I thought a few days ago, has him dropping even further than I was originally envisioned. Now, James, in both of these cases, let's talk about the ripple effect it's going to have on the other pieces in this offense. We'll start with the fun team to talk about in the Chiefs, especially in this opening week matchup versus the Lions. But even with Kelce, I mean, let's just assume that this is a few weeks, right? I mean, here's the thing. Even if it is minor, why in the world would a team that is basically the odds on favorite to repeat as Super Bowl champions here in week one, and what's now an 18-week grind, even if this is a minor injury, they're not gonna, why would they rush him back for even week two if there's, anything less than 100% here?
Because they don't want to play on the road in the playoffs, and the AFC is dog eat dog.
Yeah, I don't know. I think,
I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying there's your answer.
Won't roll out there at less than 100%. I mean, as much as I don't like his mouth, I do like Kelsey's toughness. I mean, he's durable. He plays through things. I mean, I'm not questioning the dude's toughness here. But it's more about the organization being smart. I mean, yeah, you don't want to play on the road. You don't want to play the playoffs without Travis Kelsey. It's what you don't want to have happen.
You're right.
But anyway, looking at the schedule is also part of that, right? And I think the first week, I mean, the Lions, there's just no way, even if he wanted to play. So that one is out of the question. But then you get Jacksonville. You talk about a team that could take home field advantage in that division. So that's a critical game. First Chicago, then at New York in week four, the Jets, that is. Another team that is among the top five odds-on favorites to win the conference. So they really need Kelsey. But in terms of the offense and the fantasy production these next few weeks with those opponents, I mean, yeah, Mahomes takes a dip down here a little bit, but I think they have a plethora of capable weapons here. I don't know if any of them will be consistent enough to lean on, but I'm not thinking Mahomes still can't put up elite numbers.
I wouldn't dip him. You're absolutely right. He can spread the ball around, get it to everybody there. So 100%, you're not going to do anything with Mahomes.
Is there another Chief, though, that like suddenly has more value to me? Because I have one.
No, I don't have one.
Jerick McKinnon is mine.
Okay.
And
I'm leery of him. He's just old at the running back position.
I haven't been drafting him as much. I mean, I do have a lot of McKinnon in best ball. I'm not going to lie, especially in the ones where PPR and, you know, he was like an RB4 target. So, I didn't pay up for him or anything. It was double digits. So,
no, I gotcha.
But in season long, I mean, figuring out the weeks he's going to do anything. He's a nice bench piece, in my opinion, depending on the price point. But nonetheless, I have him in a couple lineups. In one case, it's on my KFFC team, the one where I actually have Cooper Kupp. And I also have Kamara and Jackson Smith and Ajigba and a couple other hurt players. I'm considering starting McKinnon in my flex because I do. I think I won't actually start him in my flex because he's a Thursday night player.
Sure.
So it'll be running back technically. But
would let you fix it.
But you understand. The thing is, my whole point is – yeah, if Kelsey's out a couple weeks, I mean, yeah, Noah Gray, I mean, we all heard his hype train come up, and the receivers are capable. Yeah, I could see them leaning on more of a similar offense that we saw during the late season and playoff run last year where McKinnon was a focal point of the passing game.
I believe that that's what they're going to do. I'm just interested to see how McKinnon has aged another year.
We'll see. I'm not saying dude's going off this year and going to win dudes fantasy leagues like he did last year. All I'm saying is these first week, two, maybe three, where Kelsey is sidelined, there's a guy that I am thinking I'm projecting up to see an uptick now because of an increase potentially in the offense.
I wish I had a guy I was feeling comfortable with. I don't. I can't wait to watch Thursday and see it unfold.
Sky Moore, definitely. If you liked him before, you should like him a little bit more. Somebody, the opposing defenses aren't going to double up on any of them, is the point.
You wouldn't think.
So let's talk about the other situation. No Cooper Kupp on what was already a declining Rams offense. I mean, I know we love us some Tyler Higbee, and we do, especially with Kupp out in this week one matchup. I mean, Higbee's actually my tight end six this week. But I mean, the rest of this offense, James, and including Cam Akers, I'm not interested.
I mean, Skowronek was an emergency play that I guess if you were in a PPR, like, you know, a KFFSC, he'd probably be available where there are 20-man rosters. You know what I mean? But that's a deep dumpster dive where you could think, in a PPR, does he get five catches? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
DeMarcus Robinson?
I mean
obviously the Van Jefferson's the first answer.
You could go through the whole team. I don't care who it is. I'm going to say I'm not interested. I mean, I wasn't that interested before, but I mean, Cam Akers, he's a volume play at best. It became sort of a dead zone running back for me. So I don't have him on many season long teams like I do in some of these best balls. But I will say at the end of the day, I don't care. There's no confidence outside of Tyler Higbee I can give you on any Ram as your starter, including their kicker, their defense, the whole works.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you there. It's a Higbee week. It's definitely a Higbee week.
I'm looking at the schedule. Okay. Cooper Kupp goes on PUP. Well, guess what, dude? Seattle at Seattle versus San Francisco week two. Monday Night Football at Cincinnati week three. At Indianapolis the following week. Maybe that's something. Those are the four games he misses. And if it's a fifth game, it's Philadelphia. So these Rams, I know they don't get the Cardinals to week six. They might get to that game 0-5 without Cooper Kupp.
I wonder if I should make one more bet for last winless team.
Well, exactly. I knew that's exactly where your mind was going to go when I say it. But, dude, I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not. I mean, the Rams are an easy team to get away from right now. Tyler Higbee, I think I said it Saturday when we were doing the program, maybe Sunday, that Tyler Higbee gets a big bump up. There's nobody else on the offense I'm really interested in. And you can't think, I mean, I know you already kind of poo-pooed Akers. You can't think the loss of Kupp helps the run game. So it can't mean, no. Even if it's more volume for Akers, it's not good volume.
The offensive line sucks, right?
It's a shell of the team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
They sold their soul to take down our Bengals, and now they're paying the price, my friend.
Yeah, they got the ring, though.
Yeah, they got the Lombardi.
My soul's
would
got
you a price rather be the Rams fan right now with that Lombardi a couple years ago or sitting where we are as Bengal fans today?
I'll plead the fifth.
We'll come back to that one.
I'm 46 years old.
Well, I have every
Bengals are 0-3 in Super Bowl.
And I think it might even happen this year, but we'll save that for another episode. Javonte Williams, I added him on our big three headlines. And it's not big, but I was sick of talking injuries. I didn't want to, well, this is sort of an injury, but it's actually encouraging injury news. And dude, I know you've been Debbie Downer and rightfully so. I mean, we talk about processes and I mean, I'm not even disagreeing with what you have been saying about him, but everything about this since the beginning of the back when it was still Twitter, actually, when he was putting his workouts back there in May, wasn't X yet. So I'll call it Twitter in that instance. From that tweet he went out to all the talk we heard from Sean Payton and then what happened, and the dude was getting preseason. He got more preseason reps than most running backs on the fantasy teams.
That's true.
And now today he's talking him up and Sean Payton says expect and quote a big role for Javonte in a cush matchup against the Raiders. I mean, dude, I'm tempering my expectations. I'm not trying to act like Javonte's top 10 running back in my week one ranks, but he's absolutely a flex play with some intrigue in week one.
I'm handling with care. I'm trying not to use him if I don't have to. And in general, he was an RB2 with wide receiver heavy build. So I built a lot of RB depth. But I mean, there's probably worse plays because the matchup is great. It only takes a couple of big plays for him to return the value for sure. And against the Raiders, I don't know that he has to have more than 15 touches to have a pretty good ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not forcing him in the lineup. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you got two for sure things at running back, then let's see it with your own eyeballs. Let it pass your eyeball test. You might have a whole different take after watching him do something in week one. That's
yeah.
But I mean, he's definitely a flex play, and certainly I think a guy that I'm expecting double digit touches out of without question based off of what we've heard and seen.
I think so. Sorry, I just took a big drink of water. I didn't mean to leave you hanging. I think so, but I think to the conversation point, if you drafted P. Ryan and you're not using him this week, why did you draft him?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's probably not a lot of Javonte P. Ryan owners. I mean, maybe people.
Who are you playing in that combo? Because I do have that combo.
Well, I mean, if I had to pick one, I mean, I think it's Javonte. I mean,
I alluded to before we started, I'm playing for Ryan Robinson.
Concern and unknowns you have about how they're going to utilize these guys exist for P. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have the injury concern. But I mean, the injury concern isn't much of a concern for Sean Payton based off of what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, and here's the thing I'll just go to is there's all kinds of misdirection in the preseason. So I will just revert to let me see it with my own eyes. I will again quote Marvin Lewis, I see better than I hear.
Let's move on to these week one matchups. We talk about that one. We want to quickly talk through all of them. But before we do that, James, we got to go out. The people still hitting that waiver wire. Big night for it as we're going to be doing it here on the episode. Just looking over here at transaction trends from Yahoo, one of the largest providers, and you know, just looking really today, who are the most populated players that have been picked up, and just some interesting names on the list. We'll go position by position, and you know, at quarterback is a little deceptive because not every league has quarterbacks, but I do want to look at just all positions in general. And the most added player that we saw get picked up today, Deion Jackson. He's going to be in there for Jonathan Taylor. And much like Cooper Kupp, the difference is here, we know Taylor's at least out 4 weeks. We don't know how injured he is. We're more worried about the behind the scenes with ownership there.
But use the IR if you can with him anyway.
Yeah, you can use the IR with him because he's injured, right?
Right.
It's a lot better than Alvin Kamara, who's suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But Deion Jackson, I mean, if you're going to the waiver wire tonight, he's out there. I mean, is he your top priority at running back, or are there other names that might intrigue you?
No, he's the top priority right now. I know some people are maybe interested in getting after Miami, but we saw there were a few games last year, and I know it's going to be a completely different situation with a mobile quarterback instead of an immobile quarterback in Matt Ryan and friends last year. But Deion Jackson got large target volumes in a couple different games. And so I would think, you know, and again, I'm probably maybe too skewed towards the PPR half point in a standard league. Maybe Deion Jackson isn't worth it, but
my top priority is Sean Tucker. He was taken in all the KFFC leagues I was in. And, you know, he was in some leagues where there was dynasty and rookie picks that I play in. But at the end of the day, I like him over Deion Jackson because I'm not even sure eventually you're going to have Zach Moss back in the mix. Evan Hall's this rookie out there. I mean, it could be a three-headed monster. Yeah, he's the one I prefer. But heck, right now, no matter what, Sean Tucker is basically a two-horse race. I don't think Chase Edmonds is a thing. So,
yeah, but Rashad White is a thing, and there isn't a thing ahead of Deion Jackson right now.
I understand. I'm just saying, I mean, if I need a week one starter or I'm really desperate to get like somebody I need to get in the lineup now, yeah, Deion Jackson. But most of my teams, I'm looking for a play down the road. Mm-hmm. It's certainly Sean Tucker. And, you know, I think Evan Hall, I mean, if you miss out on Deion Jackson, is another guy to look at there. Outside of that, I mean, really not a lot of any. I mean, I'm looking just at this transaction trend specifically here and players picked up today. You have to go down quite a bit to see running backs on the list. But Raheem Mostert was a guy, but obviously he's drafted in many leagues, so that's sort of silly. What about these running backs that everybody drafted but aren't on a team yet? Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette. Are you making waiver wire moves to pick up a new player now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those guys don't have a home. They don't have a home on my fantasy team. See you later. I mean, at this point, if they're not on a team, I just go back to, let's look at the decline of some guys that you just go, where did these guys go to? And I know it was a bad knee injury, but do you remember Todd Gurley being the best player in fantasy football and then 2 years ago being irrelevant in fantasy football? Leonard Fournette was good. He was really good. He was never Todd Gurley. Kareem Hunt was only Kareem Hunt was good, but he was great only because of his system, and he's in no system now. So for me, those guys are gone, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it depends how deep of a league it is, right? I mean,
20 teams, they're gone. Or 20 man roster, they're gone. 30 man roster, okay. I guess I got a spot for him.
If I got like a 30 man dynasty team, I'm obviously not dumping Hunt.
I dropped Hunt a 22 man roster today.
Yeah.
Well, I guess mean, it's dynasty. The end of the road is here.
I know, but it just depends on what your other options are. I mean, I'd rather have Hunt than a fourth kicker or something. I mean, you don't know what the rosters are looking at here.
You're right. You're exactly right. But I mean, I can say from my personal experience, I cut him.
Yeah. I mean,
him off the 22.
I mean, if there's 20 or less players, he shouldn't have one of your roster slots. Mm-mm. Although I would argue that if it's a disaster in Indianapolis this week, then they go out and they sign Kareem Hunt next week. I'd rather have him than all the guys we just said spend the fab on here.
The only reason they go and do that is if they genuinely think this is a win now year. If they did that, I mean, then they're going to find a way to get Jonathan Taylor back in the fold. And Kareem Hunt is nothing more than he was last year.
Fournette. He had nobody talking to him. I don't know of any real visits he took. At least Hunt went around a few teams and had multiple offers on the table as of a week ago.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, dude, but I'm just
maybe it's like, dude, I don't want to take that less money and go out and do this. I'd rather just not play.
And maybe we then see him do exactly that.
All right. So just looking at these roster trends, Van Jefferson, Juwan Johnson were the third and fourth guy off the list. Washington's defense, Jacksonville's defense, they look like two good streaming options. I like Atlanta's too. They were up there. Tyler Higbee, we talked about him. He got at it quite a bit here. Obviously a very valuable starter. But nothing really too surprising, James. I mean, any other really waiver wire targets for you guys that could be out there in a lot of leagues where our listeners might be playing?
No, not at all. I mean, in any of the leagues I've drafted in the last 2 weeks, I have no waiver wire.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
looking at some players that have been getting drafted in leagues that maybe weren't a month ago. I think some interesting names to throw out. I mean, at receiver, I mean, it's a stash type of plays, right? You're taking the Justin Rosses and the Michael Wilsons.
Yeah.
Maybe like Tank Dell or Puka Nakua from the Rams. Wandale sure. Robinson suddenly healthy. So, I mean, none of these dudes are like, they're all stashes, right? I mean, mm-hmm. To where running back, we offered up Deion Jackson, who might be a week one starter. So in need there. Other running backs, I mean, I know that Joshua Kelly has emerged as they're mostly handcuff type guys, right? Yeah. You have Eckler, maybe as a deeper league. You want a handcuff? Well, it looks like Joshua Kelly's won that position battle. Kyren Williams getting talked up. I don't want any Rams, so I ain't touching him. it's just really having more clarity in your potential handcuff in deeper leagues is probably something that could be done on the waiver wire is the point I'm making.
The only other thing if you didn't draft a backup quarterback and, you know, like Justin Herbert, his bye week is like week five. Maybe a quarterback has a good week this week and now you're a few weeks out. Just keep an eye on it. Maybe this isn't the week you make that play. Maybe it's next week. I know for a fact I have a Herbert team with no backup. I'm not picking a bye week quarterback up yet, but I did start kind of looking at that. So maybe if you've got a dead roster spot where you're cutting Leonard Fournette, you don't know who to pick up, keep an eye on that. You mentioned some defenses too, Dan, and I just doubled down on Atlanta. They're a good play this week, and they're going to be a good streamer defense all year long, I have a feeling too.
Yeah, so those are some good ones there. Let's get over to these week one matchups. That's where we'll wrap it up here, our first whip around. These are just some quick takes, thoughts, look at some opening numbers. Just tell you what we're thinking early on. We'll start with the big kickoff game to week one. It's the Chiefs. It's the Lions. This is obviously a game that's been impacted quite a bit, James, with the news of Travis Kelce. And it's down to 4.5 now. Pre-Kelce, it was 6.5. So just to tell you, it's a 2-point swing. And I got to admit, I was in a spot to gamble when the news broke on my stuff, and I immediately went on and grabbed it at 6 because I knew it was dropping, and I was already leaning on the Lions. Nah, I think it's gonna be a close game, but I was like, you know what, I'm gonna take the points here, and then now it's down to 4.5, so it worked out. But the total here is 52, right now. It's about 52.5 in most spots, but definitely trending down as well. And it was around 53.5 pre-Kelce. So definitely the impact there. But in general on this game, we ain't looking at it as much from a betting perspective, but I do expect it to still be a nice high-paced game. I think the over is a little high, just a tick too high. I think they push almost to 50. I don't think they quite get there. But from a fantasy perspective, we've already talked quite a bit about the Chiefs here. Let's talk about Pacheco, though. Is this a guy that, he's been a little dinged up? Is he somebody that's RB2 worthy in this matchup?
He's RB2 worthy. I'm not going to tell you that I'm screaming to get him in my lineup. Frankly, I have zero Pacheco. So,
yeah. I mentioned McKinnon as a flex sleeper if you're desperate. I mean, it's probably more of just keep your eyes on situations. Certainly, I might be using him in some showdown slates based off my take. Mm-hmm. Sky Moore is the only real receiver you can trust in a starting role. I would say, on the other side, I mean,
Kadarius Toney's active and everything. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
he's the big playmaker. I would think he's the guy you're leaning on first, but
it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot all season. That's a fact.
So really on the other side of it though, the Lions, I mean, in this matchup, there's no Chris Jones. The Chiefs do have it's a tough place to play there at Arrowhead. It's, so that could be against them. But, dude, I expect the Lions to come out and do a lot. I think they're going to run the ball well. I think they're going to be able to move the ball down the field here. Goff's going to get the time he needs to be successful. Amon-Ra St. Brown's been dinged up. We're looking for him to have a big game. I'm trying to wait and see before I stick Sam Laporta in the lineup, but I am expecting him to be an early contributor here. But it's Gibbs, it's Montgomery, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Superflex. We're excited about Goff. Even though I'm going under by a couple points, I think the Lions offense is still very much a plus matchup here.
Fire up David Montgomery. And boy, I'm loving 33-1 on the Lions last undefeated right now with a much easier week one than when I made that bet.
Yeah, not looking too shabby there. Let's get to the Sunday slate, James. And man, we've only got one Monday night game, one Sunday night game. So Sunday is action packed, starting off with 8:01 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Let's start with the Battle of Ohio. The Bengals heading up to Cleveland. The current line here is -2.5 in favor of the Bengals in most spots. The total sitting right at where about it opened at 47.5. And good news out of Bengals camp, Joe Burrow is definitely going to play in this one. He's been practicing without any issue since last week. And though a little rusty here, James, definitely not really concerned around the team right now with his calf. More the talk's been about the potential extension. I'm still optimistic something's going to happen there before kickoff. But all that aside, fantasy-wise, the total here is 47.5. And as much as I am excited about Burrow and things, I am a little skittish. Like, he's on more of the fringe of my top 10 this week because these defenses, we know the physicality of this matchup. Cleveland sort of had the Bengals number here. So I'm not predicting the Browns to win, but I'm not going all in either. So in fantasy season long, you're starting all your Bengals, Burrow, Higgins, and Chase. But outside of that, I mean, Mixon, you're going to use him as an RB2. This is not a -2.5 that I'm running to the window to bet all my money on, though, because this one is definitely going to be, I think, a pretty tight contest.
No, and if anything, I like the under. Remember that last year on Halloween, the Bengals went to Cleveland and got demolished. That was without Ja'Marr Chase. They figured things out after that, though. By gosh, they did.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I do like Cleveland, as you know, more than you do on the season long here. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, this passing game, it's going to be a wait and see thing before I go all in on it. I mean, if I drafted Watson, chances are he's my QB1, so he's in. Cooper's always in. Njoku, depending on what you have. If I drafted Njoku and maybe Tyler Higbee is my tight end too, Njoku's on the bench this week.
And you bring up a good point about a lot of roster decisions. I mean, you're playing your studs, but I've already told you I drafted Brian Robinson after Javonte, but I'm looking to play Brian Robinson. Don't be afraid to make calls like that, like a Higbee who gets a bump up since you drafted him over a guy like Njoku.
Elijah Moore, I mean, he's a fringe guy, probably more of a wait and see. Yeah, I like the upside. Absolutely. Nobody else on Cleveland really should be looked at as a starter. Nick Chubb, he's a top five guy every week. So
every week,
doesn't matter who he's playing. You're riding him to the cows come home. But so yeah, James, I'm with you. I mean, it's a coin flip of a game for me, honestly. I really want the Bengals to win here. I do think it gets into the 40s. It's not a crazy shootout, but you can play your normal guys. Let's go on to Tampa Bay at Minnesota. This game is 6.5, 46 here. And I do like these under a touchdown, but almost a touchdown home favorites. Generally, it is the 6.5 usually gets me. I don't know if there's an actual trend that suggests that wins, but it works. It gets me in there. So it draws my attention, but and it's dropped down a little bit now. It's at 5.5 and 6 in some spots. So maybe I wait to see if it gets under 6. But here's the thing. Minnesota should win this game. As much as I'm not in on Minnesota this year, the Bucs D is still all right, not as good as it was. The offense is going to struggle here, but the Vikings D is not great. So I actually think there's some sneaky production here. The total's at 46 as it opened. It's been bet down to 45.5. So it's trending under here, and I think people are betting on the Bucs sucking, but I think the Bucs might be a little better now. So I actually think it gets a little over. Obviously, Jefferson is in there. I think Cousins is a top 10 play. Alexander Mattison is going to get volume in this matchup. So we're sleeping like really well if we get any of those guys. Plus, you know, Hockenson's in. But really, you're not playing. Are you playing Jordan Addison this week?
Not a chance. I play KJ Osborne before I play Jordan.
I won't win either of those guys this week. Addison has to do something before I treat him as a flex wide receiver 3 play. And Osborne's nothing but a bye week filler anyway. So
we'll see.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but the point is, we agree they're not in the week one lineup. What's your take on the
Bucs? Yeah, I'm not starting Osborne anyway.
What are you doing with the Bucs?
Assuming Evans is good to go, he's in my lineup for sure, as is Godwin. Baker's a starter in Superflex. The Vikings can't stop the pass. Give me all three of those guys. I mean, Baker's not a QB1, get you, but I mean, dude, DraftKings has a Superflex contest, by the way, that I just found out about. Set my first lineup. That was cool. I'm looking to play a Baker-Evans combo in that against that Minnesota pass D.
Yeah, I'm right with you on all that. So should be a decent game from a fantasy perspective, in my opinion. I will lay the points in all likelihood. I will lay the points and think the Vikings win. But, you know, they didn't win. They only won close games last year. So I'm a little scared from that regard. But
their point differential was disastrous last year.
One of my favorite plays of the week, Atlanta at home to Carolina. And the total here, talk about a total that really dropped. It opened at 43.5 earlier in the summer, all the way down to 39.5. Mm-hmm. And considering there hasn't been really significant injuries, but we know Arthur Smith wants to run the football, and run the football he will. I think Atlanta's got an underrated defense. This game's at home in Atlanta. It opened at 2.5. It's down. It's up to 3.5. I'm going to get it before it gets to 4, James. I like the Falcons to win this one, and I don't think it's coming down to a last second field goal from Koo to do it. I think they're going to have a great day on the ground. Specifically, we're going to see Bijan treat fantasy managers to the reward that they spent that high pick on in a big way here. I really like Drake London as a productive player this week as well.
I love him this week.
Kyle Pitts, I mean, if you draft him, you're playing him. I know he's a little dinged up, though, so I do want to see what he looks like. But he's got to be in your lineup, James, if you drafted him in season long.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But, you know, everything else, I mean, the guys I like Algier and stuff, they're not in your lineup. But. No. I'm betting the Panthers early. I want to get it in because I'm kicking myself. I didn't get it at 2.5, and now it's 3.5, and I think it's going higher.
Betting the Falcons, you are.
Atlanta. Yes. So what's your thoughts on the visiting Panthers?
Not a whole lot I'm looking for, right? I mean, I told you I like Atlanta as a streamer, so I think if you got Sanders, you'd probably plug him in as an RB2 and just hope for big-time volume. If Thielen plays, I think I like him as a fringy wide receiver 3-4. I mean, Hayden Hurst, if you're looking for a desperation plug-in for Kelsey.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, let's flip it over here to the next game then. It is Jacksonville at Indianapolis. This one opened at 3.5, up to 5, 4.5 still in some spots with the visiting Jags now the favorite. The over has gone from 43.5 to 45.5. And James, man, it's hard not to pick against the Colts and all the bets and stuff. But on fantasy, I mean, Anthony Richardson, I'm all in on the guy. I think his rushing stats alone give him a high enough floor to make him really hard for him to be a complete bust. But if you drafted him, hopefully you drafted a nice safe option too, you know, in that range. And this is a week where I want to let Richardson play his way into my lineup if I have a decent alternative. So with that said, I mean, Deion Jackson, if you're extremely desperate as a flex play, as maybe Michael Pittman could say the same, but
I'd almost say RB2 more than flex, because I'm hoping if you need an RB and a running back that bad, you have wide receiver or tight end depth, but I'm with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to bet against the Colts, but I'm certainly bet against them having much fantasy production here, which actually, you know, I'm looking at this total here, and I know Jacksonville's D isn't that great, but the fact it's gone up 2 points, it makes me almost tempted to take the under.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville. I told our good buddy James Rapine a couple nights ago that there shouldn't be any rookie quarterbacks in your lineups that aren't super flex this week. And, I mean, Michael Pittman, like the only Colt I really want to put in my lineup, and the Jags defense, if you drafted them, you drafted them for this week.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on all the offensive players there?
Ridley and Kirk are in lineups. ETN's in lineups. Lawrence in lineups. Wait and see for Bigsby. And I'm going to wait and see on Zay Jones is never really in lineups unless you're looking for that big pop after the addition of Ridley, I would think.
Yeah. All right. Let's move along here. Up next, it's the 49ers at Pittsburgh. Another 1 o'clock thriller. Opened at 3, down to 2.5. The Niners favored on the road. The total was at 42. Now, pretty much still there. 41.5 in most spots. This does have the makings of a physical contest. Nick Bosa signing his deal today. So they get that done in the 11th hour. You got TJ Watt on the other side. It's in Pittsburgh. I do think the Steelers are a sleeper this year, James. I think they're a much better team than we saw a year ago on this time when they upset the Bengals here in Cincinnati. But I think the 49ers are a little too much for them to open up with. And the spread under a field goal, I'm just going to bet on the better football team here. But that said, I do think Najee Harris is obviously a guy you're going to have in your lineups. But I feel comfortable that he could have a good chance here at a top 12 finish because of the volume I'm anticipating. Definitely going to give Deontay Johnson and George Pickens his chance as wide receiver three in flex plays. Kenny Pickett in a super flex, if you got three quarterbacks, that might come down to matchups for me, bro. It just depends.
It does.
You know, if I ended up with Pickett and Purdy as my QB two and three earlier in the season and they're going head to head here, I'd rather have the guy on the other side and Purdy. But
sure.
Freiermuth, I mean, he's pretty much a weekly starter in his spot. But the total here at 42 down to 41.5, I think it's just about right. I'm not going to bet it. And that tells you also, I'm just not overly optimistic a ton of scoring for either side.
I'm exactly with you there. I just don't think. Look, you're going to probably have to play Debo, Ayuk, if he goes Kittle, McCaffrey. But you're not feeling like these are the high ceiling game. This isn't the high ceiling game you're looking
for. Well, I mean, McCaffrey's a stud. He's sort of, you know, game script agnostic. So I'm not worrying too much about him. Purdy's one that in a super flex, you know, I'm gonna be considering him. Actually, I'm gonna be starting him, and I believe it's the Do Good Fantasy League, our listener league over there.
There you go.
Because I waited on quarterback. I loaded up everywhere. I had Kelce as my first round pick and McCaffrey. So I think that's one of the few spots I ended up with McKelce in season long. But I waited on quarterback, and my second and third quarterbacks are Purdy, and it was right after he won the job. And then I took Bryce Young. So if it's between Purdy and Bryce Young, I'm going Purdy.
Absolutely. Same here.
So, but no, I mean, overall, dude, you're going to start the Niners as you would, but I am leaning right on the line here, trending towards the over. We got the worst team in football, the Arizona Cardinals, taking on the Washington Commanders. This line's now up to 7, probably the survivor pick of popularity this week for sure. And James, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, Sam Howell's getting a lot of buzz right now. Also one of these super flex type of players I can get behind in this matchup. The Cardinals have traded away key pieces from both sides of the ball. They're starting Joshua Dobbs at quarterback at least this week. So for me, the Commanders defense was the defense to wait on and draft just for week one's play. And this is the week to use them. So I have them in a lot of spots actually. But really, the Commanders, I mean, Jahan Dotson with McLaurin unlikely to play. That's not official, but I'm not expecting him to play. So I like Jahan Dotson. I think Curtis Samuel's sneaky. Definitely love the running backs. Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson both have a chance to finish his top 25 running backs, in my opinion, in this matchup.
Yeah, interested to see how Hal runs that Chiefs East Bieniemy-led offense that moves into town.
Cardinals, I mean, James Conner's about the only one to talk about. What's your thoughts there?
I could take a flyer on Rondale Moore this week if you're looking for a high volume play.
I think I need to get Rondale Moore in my lineup in our auction league where I have scrubs and studs.
It's not ideal, but I do think volume is headed his way, and I think he could be one of those guys that just always gets. I don't know if it'll be 10 targets a week, but I think he could get 10 targets a week based on the fact that he stays healthy more than Hollywood, and I'm not sure where McBride is, so. I do like more.
Tennessee's at New Orleans, 3.5 for the Saints, 42 the total there. Why don't you just go around the horn on this matchup as we speed it up here a little bit, James?
Tennessee at the Saints. I mean, I think you're starting Derrick Henry, and I mean, look, if you drafted Hopkins, you're going to play him, but not a great matchup, and they don't like throw the ball. I'll stay away from the rest of it. I didn't have Chigo as a top 12 tight end, so I'm not leaning towards him this week. I'm not leaning towards a tight end on the other side of the ball either. And frankly, with the Saints, I think it's Jamal Williams that you're firing up with Kamara out. We talked about Carr having good matchups, and Olave is obviously in your lineup, but I don't think you're looking for a whole lot more.
Yeah, we go to Houston and Baltimore, 9.5 for the Ravens, up to 10 now in some spots, 45 down to 44. And this is one of my favorite bets of the week. I love the Texans plus the 10. And really, it's just the big spread. On week one, I don't care what the teams are. I bet it every year. It's been pretty productive. Actually, I saved a stat on that. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. But, James, I mean, the Texans, I think, are a team people are generally are sleeping on a little bit. Definitely a team that, for me, you know, it's not good that they keep losing offensive linemen left and right and some of these other things. But I will say this. I think this is a team that's really got a lot to offer in garbage time all season. So now Baltimore should win this game, and that to be very clear. But I think it's going to be closer than people think. And at the end of the day, Lamar, I mean, he's going to have a nice game here. So you want to start him. I don't know what to make of the receivers. Like all rookies, I'm letting Zay Flowers play his way into my lineup. I think I'm more comfortable. I had to start a Ravens receiver this week of Odell than any of them, but he's not a guy I'm loving. Any of them can have big games. It's really Mark Andrews, unless he's hurt. I mean, he's dinged up his own right. J.K. Dobbins, it looks like his hold in's done now, so he's probably going to have a decent game. He's an RB too. And on the other side, the Texans, I mean, you're not going to start C.J. Stroud. You're not going to probably lean on any of these receivers except in DFS. So it's pretty much Damian Pearson with the dinged up line. He takes a spot down here, James, but he's still inside my top 20 this week. So those are the good 1 o'clock. So let's get to the 425.
Don't leave out Dalton Schultz in that Houston offense. I know you don't like him, but I'm interested to see
he's definitely a viable starter in week one for sure.
I want to see what he has.
I'm not going to start my Nico Collins share because I drafted him more as a wide receiver 4 or 5 anyway, right?
That's right move.
And in a couple spots where I drafted him and Jacoby Myers, I'm actually giving Myers the slight start over him. And those are deeper leagues with much deeper starting spots. So let's get into the 5 late afternoon contests. And I love the fact there are 5 of them. It might be the only time all season, maybe one other time, we actually get 5 late games. So enjoy it. Green Bay, Chicago, Philadelphia, New England, the Rams at Seattle, Las Vegas at Denver, and Miami at the Chargers. James, we'll let you sort of go around the horn there with that Bears-Packers matchup where the Bears just a 1-point favorite. The total's at 43.
I think Khalil Herbert is the backfield guy I'll go with in week one while I try to figure out what's going on in this offense. Obviously, DJ Moore's in. I think he's the only receiver in. Cole Kmet's a fringy starter tight end who I will use if I have to. Fields clearly in. I think from the other side of the ball, look, I mean, let's see what's going on with the receiving core and how healthy it is. Watson, Dobbs, both were on the last list that I looked at. So, I mean, that's not great for Jordan Love here. I'm not starting AJ Dillon. I'm starting Aaron Jones, and I think that may be the only Packer I would start.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. The Packers are the hardest team for me to really figure out what I think about.
Yeah. And by the way, if Watson's like clearly healthy and fine to go, Christian Watson, I would start him too. But you hate to see.
They're both on the injury report.
Yeah, you hate to see that right now.
Let's move along here to the 425 kickoff between Philadelphia and New England. This one in Foxborough, and certainly is going to present some challenges for this Patriots team on both sides of the ball against the defending NFC champions here. And I mean, James, I don't know. New England's defense, I still respect here. So I don't think the Eagles are going to be the highest scoring team of the week, but I don't see any reason to not attack your key players. Obviously, Hurts and Brown and Goddard and Devontae Smith, they're all in the lineups. As far as this Eagles backfield, though, I am really trying to stay clear of getting in a week one lineup. Swift is a flex play. Outside of that, I'm going to let Kenny Gainwell and Rashad Penny and Boston Scott, whoever else is suiting up, Trey Sermon off the waiver wire or something, but you don't want to really put it in the lineup, which is why I didn't want to draft it in anything but best ball to begin with. But on the other side of it here, I mean, New England is quite the enigma. You got Devontae Parker's not quite ready. They're talking about Juju Smith-Schuster's knee exploding all of a sudden. It's like, who the heck is Mac Jones throwing the football to? It's Ramondre, baby. That's it for me. There's no other Patriot that you're going to throw at me outside their defense. They don't even have Nick Folk anymore, for crying out loud. So I don't know, dude. I'm a little skittish here on starting him. I don't even think Mac Jones is worthy of super flex this week. I like New England to lose this game at home, my friend.
I am very interested. I'm with you on Mac Jones. I mean, it's a tough matchup, of course, and New England is the dog at home. The most interesting thing to see for me, and we know how talented Philly is on defense as well as offense, they lost both of their coordinators. How will the offense and the defense look with new leadership at the top?
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch, no doubt about it. Let's get I know we already broke down the Rams at the open there. They're playing at Seattle. We pretty much already said outside of Tyler Higbee, we're not interested in any Rams.
Right.
And, as we look at this line, it just keeps going the wrong way for the Rams fans. Mm-hmm. Right now it's up to 5.5 for the Seahawks, 45.5. What's your expectations from the home team in this contest?
You start Lockett, you start Geno, you start DK. I think you start Walker. I don't think you can start Sharp, and I think that's where you're at.
The Raiders at the Broncos, another late cap here. I really am intrigued by Denver in this contest. I mean, I think the Raiders will hang around and stay close. The total's at 44. I think it actually goes a little bit over that. So I'm leaning over here. The 3.5, I don't love, but if I had to bet it, I'd take the Broncos. I think Denver, you're going to play. We already talked about the running backs. I mean, both of them are probably viable flex plays in this matchup. I think Cortland Sutton's the real winner because Jerry Jeudy's out. Yeah, Mims is nice, but he's a rookie. He's going to play your way in lineup. I think Sutton's pretty much a wide receiver 3 or better for me this week.
Can't wait to see the Dulcich Troutman whole thing.
Yeah, the tight end situation. On the Vegas side of it, Josh Jacobs, holdout's over, fire him up. You're definitely looking forward to Devontae having a big game. I'm anxious to see rookie Michael Mayer get some touches, but I'm not playing him anywhere. No. Jacoby Myers, if you're desperate, he's just outside my top 40 at receiver this week. So
I want to see Hunter Renfro and his involvement or lack thereof.
Yeah.
1,000-yard guy 2 years ago.
I'm surprised he didn't get cut, frankly. The game I really can't wait to watch, if I'm going to be honest, though, of all of these games. Outside the Bengals game, there's no game I'm looking more forward to watching on Sunday than the Chargers and the Dolphins. And LA's a 3-point favorite. It's the highest total of the whole week, my friend. It's up to 51 now in most spots. It's going to be a great game. There's pretty much nothing that I don't like about it from a fantasy perspective. I think we'll let you talk about the Dolphins.
Tua and Waddle and Hill. I mean, that's all you say about
them. And Mostert, I think, has to be.
I did say that. I'm sorry, and I did say that earlier. I guess Mostert, with the fact that as much as I don't like the running back for Miami in general, at this point, last man standing, I think this is a Mostert week if there ever will be one.
He's definitely a top 20 running back for me this week. So
probably so.
And on the other side of it, I mean, Eckler and Herbert and Williams and Allen galore. But Gerald Everett also is nice streaming play at tight end. We're going to wait and see on Quentin Johnson. I expect Josh Palmer to get more targets than him early. Not really feeling either as a week one starter. Yep. We got Sunday Night Football. It's the Cowboys, the Giants. 3.5 now. The Cowboys are favored in this contest. 46.5. I'm already putting the money down, James. I took the hook in the Giants on this one. I think they win flat out here. It's in New York. So I bought into the Giants to make the playoffs at plus 170. You make the playoffs by beating the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at home, my friend. And if I like the Giants, I like their offensive pieces. But really, outside of Waller and Jones and Barkley, I can't trust any of the receivers enough to endorse them here. On the Cowboys side, I mean, it's Pollard time. You're starting Dak and CD. I didn't even draft any of those tight ends. I didn't want that mess, but I'm sorry, dude. I think Brandon Cooks, another guy, he needs to play his way into the lineup for me.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I would figure this is going to be a bit of a low-scoring snooze fest, quite frankly. I'd look probably to go under the 46.5. So if I'm going under, I wouldn't be looking at ancillary pieces like a Cooks here. Interested to see Cooks and Gallup and that dynamic beyond the receivers.
Yeah, you know what I'm not interested in seeing? Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy calling the plays.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me Aaron Rodgers is just segue.
I was almost going to say something else, but let's just call it that.
All right.
Let's wrap it up with the final game of week one. It's a single edition of Monday Night Football for the first time in a few years. We'll get a doubleheader next week, but Bills Jets in New York, Aaron Rodgers debut, the Bills favored by 2.5 right now. The total's 46.5. And, James, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is not a guy drafted as a starter. So, I mean, he will be starting in super flex leagues where I have him. But I don't think a lot of people have to lean on that. He's a guy in general that I think has some intrigue in this matchup. I don't know where you're at on the total of this game, but I definitely think they could get there.
I don't know what to make of this game because both teams are supposed to have good defenses, right? I mean, I know Buffalo's still waiting on a key piece, or maybe they're not even waiting.
Von Miller, is he coming back?
That's what I mean. I don't know if they're even waiting anymore on that key piece, or if he's even a key piece or just the frozen caveman IDP player at this point. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this game because I could still see Jets line as and Buffalo getting pressure. I could still see the Jets defense, which we know was very good last year. Causing some trouble with a used to be turnover prone Josh Allen. So I don't know what to make of this one. Like, I'll stay away from this one in any gambling perspective.
Oh, I'll bet on it. It's Monday Night Football, dude. I'll figure something out.
And gambling goes live here in about 12 hours in the state.
I would say for sure that this is going to be a good Monday night game. And, you know, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, that's something I don't want to touch. Nope. Garrett Wilson, you're playing.
Yep.
Obviously, Rodgers in super flex or deeper leagues as a starter. Tyler Conklin, a nice sleeper, James. But unless you're in
not a top 12
league, it's hard to put him in the lineup this week.
Mm-hmm.
Showdown lineup, maybe. But Buffalo, definitely. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. James Cook, I'm starting, James.
I'm too.
Treating him as a top 20 running back until I'm proven otherwise.
I am too.
I'm not going to start Dalton Kincaid, even though I drafted him a ton. I drafted him as, somebody outside the top 10, but as a guy I hope is my tight end one, but I'm going to lean on one of those steady veterans these first week or two until I at least see how it goes.
I mean, I pray to God nobody's starting a rookie tight end in week one.
Yeah, so that's all the time we have. We are past an hour, James, so we went really long here, but it was time well spent because week one, there's a lot of things. We might not go that deep every week on these games, but we felt like you needed it here. So,
there we go.
Dude, I'll see you Saturday morning. Enjoy the game Thursday night. We got a ton more to talk about. We'll see all you next time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and get it anytime at insiderfootball.com. It's Dan Klaskins. It's James Adams. It's the Fantistics Insider Football Podcast.